district attorney, Alan Dolan. First off, I want to thank each and every one of you who took time out of your busy days to come and hear me announce my campaign for Humboldt County District Attorney. It truly humbles me that you would come to this important event. I am running for District Attorney because I am absolutely convinced that we have a serious problem in this community where crime is literally out of control and not enough is being done about it. The signs, the indicators, the anecdotal evidence is everywhere around us. I'm in my 8th year in this community, and the level of problems that I have seen in that span are bad. But I also have the perspective of friends that have lived here for a long time. For example, my dear friend John Brody, who has lived here for almost 5 decades, tells me all the time just how bad things have become. We can and must turn things around. We must take our community back. A little bit about me before I lay out my agenda for how we will accomplish that. I am a dedicated family man. I've been married to my wife, Martha Dollison, for 15 years. We have 2 great children who are excelling in the schools of Humboldt County. My daughter, Alicia, attends the Academy of Redwoods and has earned straight A's throughout her career at Zane and now the Academy of Redwoods. She aspires to go to Yale, Harvard, or Stanford. My son, Robert, is completing the 8th grade at Zane, where he will once again compete on the track team and is earning A's as well this year. I have family heritage that goes back to the turn of the century, where my grandfather was born in Eureka. I'm informed that John Campbell Dollison, founder of the Bank of Eureka, was a distant great-great-uncle. Our family name has a street after us. I have been practicing as an attorney for 18 years and have had a wide swath of experience. I served for almost 6.5 years, or 1/3 of my career as a lawyer, as a deputy district attorney here in Humboldt County. I handled murder cases, rape cases, sexually violent predator cases, home invasion robbery cases. Throughout my career as an attorney, I have completed over 35 jury trials. As a deputy district attorney, I did my best to keep serious and dangerous people off of the streets so that we could feel safe. If one thing is certain about these days that we are living in, we no longer feel safe. Now do we? More on that later. I left the office in January of last year. Throughout my career, I have been assistant attorney general for a local territorial government in the South Pacific. I served as a public defender in Los Angeles and ran a contract public defender's office near Sacramento. Now, I have one aspect of my career that I want to discuss up front. After only practicing for 2 years and having my own office, I sought employment and had to close up my practice. And thus, all of my cases were turned over to a friend from law school. However, I made a serious error in judgment by not finishing the work in 3 cases and representing that I filed a motion when I had a client, when I hadn't, to a client in another case. I apologize then and now profusely for that mistake. It was an error in judgment, but one that I have learned from. I have learned to be extra careful and exceptionally honest and hardworking. I am a Christian, and I ask for forgiveness. I have accomplished so much and proven so much in my career that a single incident that happened 17 years ago should not be a defining moment in my career. I have risen above my own failings. I am not perfect, and I don't proclaim to be. We shall see if those in this campaign shall want to use this as folly for spear purposes. I would say this. It has taught me many things, to include being candid when mistakes and lapses in judgment are made. I am a better attorney for having made this mistake. I do not wear it as a badge of weakness, but rather as a badge of strength. Having said that, at the same time, throughout my legal career, I have dedicated myself to serving my country. In March of this year, I will serve in the Army and Army Reserve for 25 years, over one half of my life. I have risen through the ranks and currently hold the rank of Lieutenant Colonel. Just recently, I was selected for the rare opportunity to command a battalion. I have led through my military career at the squad, platoon, company, and battalion level. I have served my country in both Iraq and Afghanistan as a civil affairs officer. In Afghanistan, I went on approximately 160 missions outside the wire. We came under attack numerous times, sometimes with automatic weapons fire and rocket-propelled grenades. I say this not just to appeal to your patriotic sense, but rather to exemplify leadership traits as a commissioned officer that were honed under wartime service matter, and where leadership and effective management and always making the best and right decisions was very critical, because lives were on the line. As an officer, you make it to the rank that I've earned by demonstrating that you have the best leadership skill set. You get the jobs that I have held at by excelling at being a leader. I am also heavily involved within our community and my involvement in countless veterans groups. I served for 2 years as president of the North Coast Stand Down, where we put on an annual event to help veterans in Humboldt County, many of which are here today. I also proudly serve on the Mad River Honor Guard, performing memorials for veterans who have passed frequently in this very building. We need real and effective leadership at the VA's office today, because just like in combat, if mistakes are made, then lives are on the line. It is just that simple. Here are some sobering statistics. The violent crime rate for Eureka for the most recent year available was 81.3% higher than the national average. And the property crime rate was higher than the national average by 113.07%. In Humboldt County, it took only 10 days before we had two murders this year alone. This past week, we also had an attempted murder here in Eureka. In Arcata last year, we had a double murder and another murder. There were times that 17 murder and attempted murder cases were backlogged within the DA's office when I worked there. Crime is on the rise. Violence is on the rise. The aesthetics of the community are declining. People no longer feel safe. There are many reasons, but I will highlight a few. We have a horrendous hard drug, white drug problem in this community. Recently, the Times Standard did an article about an embezzlement of a drug rehab facility. In the article, it included some very frightening statistics. Humboldt County loses more than 3 times as many people to drug addiction deaths than the state average. Alcohol death rates are 50% higher here than the statewide average. When I was in the DA's office, I worked a case where 5 pounds of methamphetamine were found in a home. How much crime does 5 pounds of methamphetamine cost? Whenever I tell that story, I always tell people to look at a 5-pound bag of sugar in the supermarket and imagine that was meth. That is a lot of methamphetamine, and it's here because of demand. Another case is even more instructive. 2 individuals were arrested for 3 pounds of heroin. They had come from Los Angeles to deliver the heroin. We did further investigation and found that they had spent the night at a local motel. When we did further investigation, we learned that they had stayed at that same motel every month for an entire year. Is it reasonable to assume that they brought 3 pounds of heroin in each time? Do you know how much ancillary crime is created from that much drugs? Addicts must commit crime to feed their habits. Ever had your car or house broken into? I have on several occasions myself. Most likely, that is to feed someone's drug habit. We have to do more to raise the spikes against drugs. The DA's office used to have a dedicated prosecutor to only do larger drug cases. The grant support for that disappeared, and the dedicated in-house prosecutor was no more. These cases, once in court, were thrown into the overburdened workload of the regular attorneys. That is wrong, I will say it is wrong, and I will fight for those funds. Recently, Humboldt County was labeled a HINTA, high-intensity drug trafficking area. Some people were pleased with this designation. This is the way I look at it. This means more resources, more coordination, and more communication, but mostly more resources and even more resources to fight this epic drug problem that we are having in this community then I too welcome that designation. However, I am also saddened, and in fact deeply saddened, that it came to this. It was reported that only 16% of all the counties in America have such a designation. In other words, 84% of America's counties are not into counties. Anybody here happy that we live in a community awash in drugs? That now the federal government is saying that we have a problem, a serious problem, and more federal resources need to be poured into the community to fight the import of drugs into our community? This is a good segue to what I would like to talk about next. Resources at the DA's office. Typically, there are slightly more court-appointed indigent attorneys than there are DAs here in Humboldt County. I practice in different jurisdictions, and when I observed that, I was shocked and flabbergasted. The problem with such an imbalance is that the DAs have to prosecute all of the cases, and the public defenders, together with the private bar, defend the cases. The PDs carry the bulk of that caseload, of course, and these are good people doing a difficult job. I've done that job and know the issues that they confront. At one time, at the beginning of the tenure of the current DA, there were 19 attorneys in the DA's office. That number fluctuated, but has dropped as low as 9, even lower. At one time, we had dedicated attorneys who handled the larger drug cases. We had a dedicated attorney who prosecuted domestic violence cases. We had a dedicated attorney who prosecuted child abuse cases. All those dedicated attorney positions are now gone. We actually still have a grant to fund an attorney to prosecute auto insurance fraud, but not a grant to fund an attorney to prosecute child abusers, to include child molesters. Let me tell you, those are difficult cases, and they need that dedicated attorney to focus only on those cases. I prosecuted those cases myself. That have child witnesses who need more prep time. We are essentially prioritizing auto insurance fraud over the prosecution of molesters. That would end under me. I would fight to get that grant funding back and get more funding. I bet very few of you knew that fact that I just described to you. You know why? Because no one complained about it. No one fought against it. No one took to the press to complain about it. Those cases were just subsumed by other attorneys, to include the elected district attorney himself, according to the recent budget, who obviously has other duties. If I am your DA, I will not allow resources to just be stripped. I will not allow that to happen without a fight. I will take it to the public. I will appear on the news. I will write op-ed columns to the paper. I will flood the Board of Supervisors with a public that is outraged over cuts for an attorney whose sole job is to protect our children. That office in our recent years suffered the budget cuts of over $500,000 in just 1 year. The initial proposal was to cut $1 million, or 25%. I will fight for those resources. I will become a very frequent guest at the Board of Supervisors meetings and fight for adequate funding, adequate staffing, and adequate resources. The era of just blithely accepting cuts and letting the office suffer would be over. In our current budget, we fund social services in this county at a level of $150 million. That is almost 40 times the funding of the DA's office. We can and must find that funding, and there is money where they are currently being spent on other priorities. For the DA's office, basic function is to protect the public, and yet you do not have the resources to make that happen. You should not take that line down. I won't. I would put policies in place, rules and requirement for the daily decisions of the deputies so there would be uniform application of justice. Why does having adequate resources for public prosecutions matter? Here is why. In a recent year, approximately 1,800 felony cases alone were filed. Almost five times that were filed for the misdemeanors. At one time, there were five courts dedicated to hearing criminal cases. That changed in 2011. Now there are only four. Thus, primarily four felony attorneys are handling about 450 cases a year. One of my former deputies that I served with, Mary McCarthy, is here. She remembers these days and remembers what that caseload did in the office. That is almost four times what the American Bar Association says that they should be handling. When the reduction from five to four courts happened, many of these special grant positions attorneys disappeared as well. It was like a perfect storm. Caseloads went up about 40%. Everybody works hard. Everybody is dedicated, but it's like in wartime. And if you ask a company to defend the area appropriate for a division, the company is going to fail.
It is too small. Are there indications of problems from such a system in place?
Yes.
Recently there was a case about a police officer that was being prosecuted. The case meandered through the system. It approached a jury trial date only weeks away. And the DA's office announced that they were dismissing the case after experts had looked at the video evidence and told the DA's office that the case could not be proven. They even apparently failed to tell the actual victim of the case that it was being dismissed. His attorney complained to the court, and the judge said to talk to the DA's office. The person that was handling the case had not even been the person who filed the case. Nothing prevented them from having the experts look at the video evidence prior to filing the case. Presumably, the opinions would have been the same. The case never would have been filed at all. And that officer would not have had his name dragged through a roll of mud. Even more recently, we have had to deal with the horrendous murder of Father Eric Freed, just up the street. I have met this wonderful man on a couple of occasions. At funerals, he was such a warm and reverent and wonderful man. To say that this tragedy has affected this community in terribly profound ways would be an understatement. John was able to go to his funeral. The suspect in his murder case was reportedly arrested for cocaine possession, which is only a felony, in April of last year, 2013. He was allowed to plead to one or two misdemeanors. Now, why is this important? When you're arrested for suspected drugs, typically a test is done in the field or at the station to initially determine what type of drugs it was. Because it was tested to be cocaine, that is what he was charged with, felony possession of cocaine. Later on, the drugs were sent to a local DOJ lab for positive confirmation. It is exceedingly rare that the initial test is ever wrong. Why was that suspect allowed to plead to a misdemeanor? In fact, it was widely, albeit mistakenly, reported throughout national media that he was on misdemeanor possession of cocaine probation. Well, no, he wasn't. Because that charge does not exist. It is a culture that exists within that office. I saw it when I served there. We're convicting a person of the most serious offense. Charging a person with the most serious offense is not the priority. I will end that policy. If there is a plea bargain, then the defendant will plead to the most serious charge that can be proven in the court of law. I will fix that problem. Now, in the rare situation if it was positive and proven not to be cocaine, then a misdemeanor plea would have been appropriate. But I have a very strong suspicion that is not what happened. If he had been on felony probation, he would have been held in the jail, and it goes without saying, a tragedy could have been avoided. I know the local media has asked some questions about that. I hope that is explored more fully. In the military, especially during wartime service, I was always in the what-if business. You have to plan and expect for all types of contingencies, and know that every decision that you make is going to matter. I will use that what-if policy to guide the way I would run the office. I have proven abilities. As a prosecutor, I handled the Brian Fury case, which was a violent robbery of marijuana and later a high-speed chase from law enforcement, where an automatic weapon was fired at. It culminated with the driver killing the passenger and then trying to kill himself and a vehicle crashing 175 feet below. It was a crazy case with its decided complexities, but I worked hard in what was a two-month-long trial to get justice. And Mr. Fiore was convicted of murder and two counts of attempted murder. The latter was on two California Highway Patrol officers who had their vehicles shot into. A total of 9 felony convictions, and Mr. Fiore will spend the rest of his life in prison because of it. I prosecuted a sexually violent predator case called Jerome Franz Gonzalez, where a man had been convicted of molestation in the past, but not for 19 years. I was able to convince the jury that he still posed a serious threat and kept him off our streets indefinitely. I convicted Robert Canfield of a home invasion robbery where a young single mother had a small amount of money taken from her. But more importantly, her peace of mind and security was totally stripped forever. I have talked to hundreds of victims and family members of violent crime. And believe me, they are still affected constantly. A sign of my dedication was once while on the East Coast for military training in Fort Dix, New Jersey. I took a train to upstate New York to meet with a murder victim's family from Humboldt County in my own experience. I still talk with that family on a regular basis, most recently a week ago. They are still waiting for justice for their loved ones to be reached. If we are unable to get sufficient resources, then as a leader, I will have to make prioritization decisions. I don't believe that is happening now, and the end result is justice is not obtained for all. When we were prosecuting people for violations in connection to the courthouse protesting, every time that office took it to trial, we lost. A few years ago, there was a Supreme Court case called Phelps versus Westboro Baptist Church. It involved hate-filled, vile speech. They were protesting at funerals of fallen service members. Eight members of the U.S. Supreme Court said that was protected speech. I disagree, but respect the Supreme Court for its final say. In that regard, the jury in one of our courthouse cases, the jury actually wanted the text of the First Amendment read to them. They acquitted the three defendants. If you don't have enough lawyers, your lawyers are overworked, they're overburdened, and we're prosecuting people who are standing on the courthouse with signs protesting what they feel is happening in this country. That was wrong. Now, in Humboldt County, in a discussion about issues related to law enforcement, you have to talk about marijuana. Let's face it, this is the lifeblood of our local economy. It is actually a misnomer that the current DA does not prosecute marijuana cases. Raids and prosecutions are always occurring. Not only for those growing does marijuana cultivation support their lifestyle, but the seizures by law enforcement of assets connected to marijuana provides funds to law enforcement. There are limits to what those funds can be used for, and that which is most important, i.e. salaries and potentially overtime, cannot be supported by those funds. California's laws on the issue frequently make no sense. We passed a medical marijuana law yet days ago. The Ninth Circuit said that marijuana dispensaries are still illegal. Our law was silent on dispensaries. There is violence connected to marijuana sometimes, but typically it is outsiders from Humboldt County. It is outsiders not from Humboldt County that are propagating such violence on Humboldt County citizens. Mr. Fiore, who I spoke of, was from the Bay Area. Large cultivators hire migrant laborers, sometimes from Eastern Europe, to work around fields. I will say this. I believe that the real problem in Humboldt County is coming from hard drugs, like the pounds of methamphetamine and heroin that I spoke of earlier. Those drugs are very addictive, cause massive problems, and there's a connection for drug dealing with those drugs that even the local gangs profit off of. That will be my focus. That is where those resources need to be put in place. We do have a serious problem with environmentally damaged marijuana grows, and I think the laws can be used to effectively address those situations. I think policies need to be put in place that small grows will have nothing to worry about. But as I said earlier, seizures of assets give law enforcement resources that they will not want to give up on. So we really are in a conundrum. Obviously, other states like Colorado and Washington have recently decriminalized it. I believe most of the polls indicate that California now supports legalization. Whether California takes that step will be up to the voters. I would say if it is legalized, those asset seizures would end anyway. I am concerned that in the most popular initiative to legalize and currently circulating for signatures, for business for signatures, that it provides for complete criminal immunity for business organizations and corporations. Will that be a pathway for large corporations to come into Humboldt County with cheap labor and destroy our economy? I think we need to take a long, hard look at such an initiative. It was interesting that 4 years ago, Proposition 19, which was only going to legalize small amounts, got a higher no vote in Humboldt County than it did the rest of the state of California. So we know that illegal marijuana in a black market economy keeps the price inflated, although those prices have come down significantly in many years. Now, in closing, I want to talk a little bit about the campaign. I'm very proud to have the endorsements of John and Mary McCarthy, who are sitting right over there. Humboldt County's husband and wife team recently elected members of the McKinleyville Union School District Board of Trustees. Mary and I served together as a district attorney, and she will tell you about my professionalism, commitment, and passion for these issues. I also have the endorsement of Virginia City Councilman and former Mayor Dean Blazer, who will be here today with that candidate's commission. Dean and I served together on the Mad River Honor Guard. I have the endorsement of David Edmonds, Humboldt County Planning Commission. I have the endorsement of Siskiyou County Sheriff John Logan. John and I served in Iraq together, and I endorsed him for his 2010 run for the sheriff. John has been very active in supporting lawful rights to own and possess guns. I intend to work very hard, meet as many people as possible. I will canvass and talk to people in their communities. We already have 2 upcoming law enforcement forums. All this will take resources, and I am not an independently wealthy person. So if you believe in this cause, and you believe in these issues, please consider donating to this campaign. We have a campaign organization set up with the Secretary of State, and are working hard to raise money both in our community and with my friends up and down the state of California. We have envelopes today where you can make contributions, but also through the website using PayPal. If you wish to know more, please go to my website, dollisonforda.com. Address is on the banner. And also on Facebook by liking my page, and encourage your friends to do the same. Although I am very concerned about Humboldt today, I believe that everything that is wrong with the Humboldt County VA's office today can be fixed with hard work, more resources, dedication, a laser focus on these problems, and most importantly, a fresh new voice with new ideas. I will be that voice with God and the community willing. Thank you very much.